the most diversified radio station on the dial, AM 1050, KCAA.
It's that time, ladies and gentlemen, live from Hawaii, this is the Roseanne Barr Talk Radio Show, and now, here's Roseanne Barr.
Right, and that's why it failed, and hey, thanks for having me on the show. I just want to shout out and say thanks to Roseanne. I've been following the last half hour, and very interesting discussion. But I think the reason it failed, and let's not have any doubt about this, is that as AIPAC itself and its executives would say, they don't do very well in high-profile lobbying like this. They can't really receive the ball and then run with it. They prefer to operate in the darkness, as right. Stephen J. Rosen, one of the executives, used to say. And the reason they failed was that this was such a high-profile issue and there was such massive, broad opposition to just the idea of getting into another war. But I think it's important to understand one thing without any doubts. AIPAC is definitely not a brain trust of the Heritage Foundation. AIPAC, if you go back to its roots, was really a brain trust of the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs. The key founder of AIPAC, Isaiah Kenen, in fact, worked inside that ministry and was very active in directing the earliest lobbying for arms and financial aid and those sorts of things. And in fact, he even registered as an employee of the Israeli Ministry of Foreign Affairs. So if you really track the history of AIPAC, what you see is that it's got a direct lineage and ongoing very close ties with the Israeli government. In fact, you know, in spite of the fact that they raise a lot of money in the United States, their startup funding came from Israel. Their key employees and founders were active in Israeli government. They received a lot of money from the Jewish Agency to begin their operations. And as many of you know, that's a nonprofit. It was sort of the government in waiting in the 1940s, and it's still around. And so what we know about AIPAC, and we really need to understand this organization that represents 50 other organizations, is that it does like to lobby in the dark. It's got a lot of power. It wasn't able to shift us out of economic warfare, such as the Syrian Accountability Act, which they passed back in 2003, into kinetic warfare, because it's just not very good at that sort of showdown with the American public. But we need to be clear that this is an organization which has done a lot of lobbying for the Israeli government and has gotten the U.S. to do a lot of stupid things over the past decades. And there's a lot of controversy beginning to surround the organization.
First of all,
hello.
First of all, you know, I'm not going to pick apart what you say. Some of me wants to, but I'm not going to. But, yeah.
No, go ahead. I expect you to.
Oh, well, AIPAC, to me, when I, like, started decoding what it was saying is, you know, that it's just a push toward Armageddon, which is Christian jihad. And the Heritage Foundation and a lot of American conservative Christian Zionist organizations, they are pushing for
true.
That. Huh? What? What was that?
Yeah, AIPAC is fundamentally, it's always been an organization embedded, working with synagogues, working with, wealthy Zionist Americans. It's a fairly recent development that they've reached out and begun to capture and formulate, such close, powerful economic and political ties with the, Citizens United for Israel and the evangelical groups, which was part of their initial strategy. If you look at some of their strategy papers from the 60s, the idea of reaching out and harnessing these groups to have more bodies was one of their strategies. But if you're making the claim that AIPAC and the power of this lobby is driven by Christian Zionists, that's not really true.
It's driven, it was in large part driven by the desire to see a dual religious effort in the United States, so that, you know, the same message could go everywhere. And the people who support tourism in Israel are mostly American Christians. So
I agree with that.
Huh? What?
He said he agrees with that. I think, yeah, I mean,
so, I just like to get to the real roots of it, because I do think it is ideological, and I do think that it has a lot to do with, Armageddon, and, making sure that Armageddon happens.
Well, there are a lot of Christians who are active in lobbying, and there's a great piece of work called Anxious for Armageddon about that sort of evangelical mindset and, you know, taking down the Al-Aqsa Mosque and trying to set the stage for all of that. I agree. But, you know, the core bread and butter issue of AIPAC ever since it was launched from the Israeli embassy is much simpler. It's been for money. In the form of financial aid, loan guarantees, economic aid. It's been for opening up the U.S. market to Israeli goods. It's been for receiving all sorts of guns and arms. But, you know, here's where a lot of Americans are beginning to become very disturbed about AIPAC, because they do have this dark history of fixing elections, of coordinating political action committees in ways that were illegal, of running candidates for office that were in fact spoiler candidates, such as in the Cranston elections back in 1986. You've got AIPAC constantly, 1975, 1984, 2005, getting caught stealing classified information from the U.S. government to lobby for Israel and win various goodies. And you've also got this sense that, you know, as far as playing on a level playing fields, they do coordinate tightly with the Israeli government, but they don't ever report that like the other big foreign lobbies do, or at least should be doing. And so there's a real argument and a real sense, kind of like you felt when you couldn't get on the ballot and had to fight ballot access wars, probably against the Democrats and Republicans.
That's right.
That you just can't get into the game because you've got this player that has amassed quite a bit of power through illicit means that's just not letting you get out there and have a voice. And so that's really become an issue for many Americans trying to get their congressperson to, you know, have a more open mind about this. Because the simple fact of the matter is AIPAC has an impossible task. 65% of Americans, according to a poll, a recent poll in 2012, well, that's not so recent, but they didn't want to take sides in the conflict. And AIPAC's entire, you know, lobbying effort is to get Congress and the Senate, at least, to take a side and not let any more innovation take place in terms of, you know, changing the relationship. So there's a lot of angst out there. I don't think the Syria lobbying, the backlash against that had anything to do with it. That was just bad timing and AIPAC not playing on its favorite playing field, which is behind the scenes.
Well, how do you guys feel? Roseanne,
AIPAC was, you know, there's hardly anything that AIPAC isn't involved in because, you know, like I said before, it's all just a business. And, you know, I'm sure that Halliburton got kickbacks from every cent of that money that was sent to Israel. I mean, Israel seems to me like it's just, you know, not only is it a client state, but it's like the tip of the American spear in the Middle East. So, you know, that's why I said I'm running for President of the United States and Prime Minister of Israel, because, you know, it's exactly the same thing. We should have, it should be the 51st state. Somebody said that, you know, that they took a Jewish state in place of a Jewish nation, and they're trying to make a Jewish state into a Jewish nation.
Well, I think the interesting thing about what you said, it's true, you know, virtually all of the $3 billion in aid for weapons, or at least a weapons segment, is going to U.S. defense contractors. Sure. And so it's a very easy sell in Washington, D.C. If, you know, this is going to Lockheed, that's going to the other guy. But
it's going to the Secretary of State Kerry's missile
Well, I wouldn't, I heard you say that. You know, Carrie is married to the ketchup queen who's worth many, many billions of dollars. I don't think in this particular case that he's overly worried about his Lockheed Martin dividends from attacking Syria.
I don't doubt it. This is the world. It's crazy.
If he's got a net worth of $5 billion with his wife, I seriously don't think that Secretary Kerry is out there banging the war drum just because of that. Although, you know, stranger things have probably happened. But I just want to say you're right. There is a lot of business going on. AIPAC is a very lucrative business. You know, $75 million a year, $50 million in the bank, influence peddling, and
everywhere that, you know, they know how to spy. They know how to get the info because that's what they've been, you know, that's what America underwrote for their, for the money they give. You know, you have to give something back. You don't just get money. So yeah, they became the spies for America, and they're everywhere, and they can find out anything. I mean, these guys are more powerful than the National Enquirer, and I never thought I'd see the day where somebody was more powerful than the National Enquirer.
Well, I don't know about that comparison, but they're very effective, and they've got their eyes and ears and interns all over Washington.
Hey, okay, wait, you guys. Hey, wait a minute. You guys go on and on. I never thought I would see two people who could talk more than me, because I'm a talker.
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
But you know what? We have a caller. Why don't we take a caller? What do you think?
Oh, okay.
Okay, let's take a caller and see what
she has. It's fun talking to everybody. It's so fun.
Okay, we have Deanna from Reno. Hi, Deanna.
Hello.
Hi.
Roseanne?
Yeah.
Hi. How are you? It's Deanna. I haven't talked to you in a while. I wrote the article about you. Do you remember me?
Yeah. Do you have
a
question?
How are you?
You got something to add to this conversation?
Yeah, well, kind of. I just want to say I'm so happy that your radio show is back on.
Oh, thanks,
and it's going to be staying on every week like it was before, right?
I'm not sure yet, but I hope you're enjoying what's being talked about today. It's real important.
Oh, always. And I'm so Roseanne for President 2016. And I'll tell you what, right now, anything that you need in Nevada for your campaign, I'm your person. I will help you out with anything. I'm going to get your name going down here. I'll tell you that right now. I'm going to go out to all the, you know, younger generation and stuff. I'm going to tell them, you know what, this woman.
I'm not sure if I'm going to run or star in a porn movie yet. But you know what? I'm gonna let you know, Deanna. Thanks for your call.
Oh my goodness.
I love you a lot.
Okay, I thought that was gonna be about Syria or AIPAC, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Let's keep it on Syria.
Yeah, let's stay on AIPAC because I'm sorry for interrupting. Because you guys were, I'm going to let you two go at it because you're doing fantastic, really. So,
I was just saying, you know, and then I'll be quiet for a long time, but I was just really trying to make the point that this is just a business scam. And they're throwing in, you know, it's like wag the dog, then they throw in this emotional tail on top of it all. The money goes to the same people. All the money goes to the same people. Oil, drugs, you know, weapons. It goes to the people at the top of the pyramid scheme.
Well, in the case of AIPAC, one of the things that you need to be worried about, though, is that there is a limited amount of U.S. aid available. And when Congress has had a chance to choose between giving money to America's cities, for example, that have been in decline, or providing aid to Israel, you know, AIPAC has got them lined up, whether it's loan guarantees, whether it's attempts to, you know, reposition assets. And, you know, you talked about Israel as a client state of the United States, but, you know, the aid flow and the benefit flow has really been one way. You've got this massive amount of diplomatic support, aid, economic aid, and all of these things that, you know, you do have to recognize that when that dollar isn't spent, you know, on something truly worthy, and I wouldn't consider most of these weapons deals to be at all worthy, then it does have an impact on America. And there are a lot of Americans who are beginning to put up billboards and start talking about that foreign aid budget, which hasn't really gotten much security and peace in the region for the United States.
Well, but
not from the perspective of the person on the ground.
But it did help the United States with land grabs, didn't it? Like, you know, it did help the United States, and it also, what is the United States? Is that like just somebody that's helping to, you know, is that just a body of, a body politic that, you know, is going to get a kickback when that pipeline, that oil pipeline gets through? Is that what the United States is now? I mean, I'm just asking these questions. It makes no political sense whatsoever that the United States has taken any of the positions that it's taken in the Middle East, except for that, you know, they're getting a business payoff.
No, the lobby is powerful.
No, well, I don't think we've gotten, we haven't gotten anything out of Iraq. Now, look, we've got all of these neoconservatives that were saying, Iraq, Iraq, Iraq. Paul Wolfowitz saying, you know, this is going to pay for itself. But for the most part, except for every tax dollar that a lot of these crooked contractors took out of the United States and then either didn't build the projects and just pocketed it or failed, they did not leave behind what they thought they were going to leave behind, which was large oil companies extracting and even owning some of those resources. They've been competing with the Chinese and Russians, and from an economic standpoint, you cannot say with accuracy that the United States invasion of Iraq, which was heavily lobbied by AIPAC through its think tanks and people in the media and all sorts of other pundits and analysts, it did not result in any net economic benefit for the United States, nor is Afghanistan. So the argument falls apart when you look at Iraq 10 years later.
Okay, but I'll tell you what it did result in. It resulted in a mass amount of public wealth being put into private pockets.
No.
And
yeah, absolutely. I agree.
That's where they launder all the dough.
I would characterize it as laundering, and there's a great article called Billions Over Baghdad, which essentially shows, you know, all of these hundreds of millions of dollars they took out of the treasury and just showered it in cash over that country. It was a scam. The rationale for going into Iraq was a scam. But, you know, here we've got, again, a large and powerful lobby that wants us to do the same thing in Syria. It wants us to do the same thing with Iran. And that could truly bankrupt the United States if any of those bad ideas, of which AIPAC is the almost leading sole voice wanting us to attack, if we do any of that, we could well go bankrupt as a nation.
Well, I think that, you know, they've fixed it up the way they want it to be, because I don't know if anything really happens by accident, because, you know, all they have to do is just get a distribution channel for the money to move it. But, you know, I think it is exactly the way they set it up. And, you know, I think that if there isn't peace, you know, I don't think anybody's invested in there being peace, and that's why it needs to happen so desperately. There needs to be peace so desperately. And if people could just step out of that, you know, could just come out of that, it's obsolete thinking that war solves anything.
Yeah.
You know, all it does is move royal money, you know, move. It just moves the royalties' money. That's all it does.
Well, Friday was International Peace Day.
Well, it's, I think war, war has accomplished just about as much as it can in the region for now. And adding a little bit more, I'm 100% behind you on that, Roseanne. It's not going to do anything.
I really have this big hope. I talk all the time about, you know, when the world's grandmothers like me, you know, when we wake up and start talking to each other and figure out, you know, nobody is going to do anything once we tell them we're not going to allow it. I really think that this is the time for women to make inroads to other women in the Middle East, and that's where I think peace will come from. For instance, I really hoped, you know, that we'd be talking about two states too, but, you know, I want to talk about, like, women building some women's economy there, and how that would change the face of the politics in every direction. Women-friendly economics and business.
Yeah, I think that's true. As long as you don't have the liberal interventionists, it almost seems as though any woman with the last name of Rice is not going to do a much better job than, you know, the guys who are driving this, but I hear you, and I think that would be
an entirely different system, an entirely different system of things that women do anyway.
Think if Americans continue to watch Congress closely, men and women watch closely, and when they see something is happening, and they see the stirrings, or they see the strange resolutions being developed quietly, they need to get on the phone again. They can't just have this be a one-time deal where they suddenly rose up because Obama tossed something to the Congress, probably the most dysfunctional Congress in America, and said, let's go to war. It can't only be that situation where Americans are watching from the sidelines and suddenly decide to do something. They need to be active every single day, and I think that's probably one small step toward the vision that you're outlining.
So I want to say that Friday was International Peace Day. So Grant Smith, tell us, we have 2 minutes, how can we bring peace to the world? Your question.
No, don't toss that one to me. Toss that to Roseanne. She had the bigger vision than I do. The only go ahead.
Well, I just think that women becoming extra political and ex-to-political, building inroads to each other's communities, helping each other with business, supporting other women's business. I mean, let's just stop supporting this ridiculous system of war and, stop even resisting it. Stop giving it any energy whatsoever. Just step back from it, watch it crumble, build something new and better.
And you, Grant, you have anything to add to that?
Yeah, I would add that that's a fine vision, particularly the parallel economic system where it's supporting like-minded individuals, reaching out horizontally to your peer and affiliations, and really trying to cut loose at the knees some of these active, giant and wrong-thinking lobbies that are
also true supply and demand as women define it. What's needed, resource-based, what's needed in your family, your area, your neighborhood, your community, resource-based economies. And, this is the way it's going to go anyway. I think we're just seeing the end of one thing, the beginning of another. But the faster we can get there, the better for all of us.
Okay. Thank you, Rania Masri.
Guys, it was great. Thank you, Kathleen.
Thank you, Roseanne. Thank you, Grant. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's do this again.
Okay. Sounds good. Fantastic.
You're on board KCAA's Inland Talk Express. KCAA, Loma Linda, 1050 AM, the station that leaves no listener behind.